The latest from Devendra Barnhart, that is from Mala, his newest album. Before that, we had Stars with the title track From the North. That's their new one. Telekinesis started us off with a track from their latest album. It's called Dormarian, and we heard Ghosts and Creatures. Well, coming up, we've got more music, and in just a second, we're going to hear my conversation with Jesse from the Pinkerton Raid. They're coming to Ghost Light Coffee, as well as some places in Cincy and Columbus, and we'll tell you all about that here in just a moment. And stick around, we've got live music coming up from Starving in the Belly of the Whale, and some friends, some familiar voices have come back to join us once again, and we're very excited to have all of them in the studio. Stick around, more coming on Kaleidoscope.
Early spring is upon us. Poor Will's Almanac says so. That means it's almost time for WYSO's silent auction. Hi, I'm Heather Martin, chair of WYSO's resource board, and I would love to see you on April 20th at Springfield's Holland Beck Bailey Creative Arts and Conference Center. As always, you'll find unique auction items, excellent food and wine, and great friends. Listen on air or log on to wyso.org for details. And thanks.
I'm Nikki Eliopoulos, host of Jazz Forward. Hey, it's trivia week this week, so Jazz Forward comes on a little bit later. Tune in from 9 p.m. until 11 p.m. for the best in contemporary and classic soul, jazz, and funk sounds. That's Jazz Forward this week from 9 p.m. until 11 p.m. right here on WYSO.
This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. The Pinkerton Raid released an album, a self-titled album, in 2012, and the frontman of that band, Jesse DeCanto, is a Cedarville graduate, so he's got some connections to the area. They're currently getting ready to embark on a Midwestern tour. They're going to be here in the Miami Valley on April 6th at Ghost Light Coffee. They'll also be in Cincinnati at Sitwell's Coffee on April 5th and Sweet back through to the Rumba Cafe in Columbus on April 13th. I got to sit down with Jesse earlier this week and chat a little bit about what he's been up to, making music and all that good stuff. And stick around, we're going to hear a track from their album. So I want to start off talking a little bit about what got you started playing music. I read a little bit about your history on your website, and it seems like you had a really interesting journey that brought you to what you're doing now. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess, you know, my early experiences with music were a little bit schizophrenic in that when I participated in music, it was singing in church. And, you know, when I was a kid, that was just like everybody else just singing as part of congregation. But then at home, my dad would be practicing to go and play out in little, like restaurant pubs, hotel lounges, things like that. That was what he did for a living when it was just me, when I was a little baby, just me and my mom. Eventually, they had more kids. You know, I had brothers and sisters, so he had to find another way to make more money. That's how I thought of him back then. And, you know, I would hang out in his studio in the basement at one house where we lived. You know, kind of like the stereotype of the basement studio. Or maybe have to go along with him to a rehearsal at a friend's house. I might wake up in the middle of the night or after having been asleep for, you know, an hour or two and hear him, like, just playing his guitar, singing out in the living room. I'd go out and he'd play me, like, House of Pooh Corner or something like that. You know, I kind of got raised on what they used to call soft rock back in the early 80s and, like, a lot of Fleetwood Mac and Simon and Garfunkel and Carly Simon and James Taylor. And that's what my mom would listen to. I spent most of the time with her. So, you know, she'd be doing errands or whatever. That's what I'd hear in the car. Probably it wasn't until I was like a sophomore in high school that I started to dabble in music, and it was still like sacred music. It was really still church music, but I went away to this little Christian boarding school, and it was a pretty amazing place in a lot of ways. A student body of only 100 or so kids, but they had a really like stellar arts program there, and would go and win contests in different parts of the country with their choral singing. And that's where I kind of got started. The director there, my mom paid for voice lessons for me there. And I, you know, joined this choir, and started getting into drama too, and was in a play and, on a drama team. So, you know, that at 15 and 16 years old, I sort of discovered this passion for performance. I had the history with my dad playing music, and I always liked to go see a lot of music if I could, once I got really into college. But it took a year or two. I'd actually tried to learn guitar when I was like 17, and I just kind of gave up. I didn't stick with it. And then it was a couple years later when this passion just like grew more. And I actually, the main thing was I came home from college. I guess it was after my freshman year, and my little brother was playing a ton of guitar, and he and my dad had worked all these Led Zeppelin songs out, and I was like kind of jealous. So I picked up bass at that point because I knew I could sing with them, but I felt kind of silly just singing. So I wanted to learn something, and nobody was playing bass. So when I was there at Cedarville, one of the first things I did playing bass was to go and help there was a campus ministry up at Wittenberg. I can't remember what the name of the group was, but they would have these kind of like little worship Bible study meetings on campus, and they needed musicians to help to lead that music. So that was kind of like the first thing I did, other than playing just in the basement with my family. So then by the time I graduated from college there at Cedarville, I was really looking forward to going back home to New Hampshire and playing a lot with my family and trying to get out and actually perform in front of people. So that's when it really started, was after I graduated, and when I was like 22 or so.
And Pinkerton Reid features a couple of your siblings. Do you find that I've heard a lot of siblings that play music together say, you know, there's kind of this innate sense of harmony or being in sync with each other. Do you find that that's true, and that it does it make your songwriting process or even your live shows a little easier to know that you've got these people that kind of share the same blood as you and are really in sync with you?
You know, my sister and I have been singing together for a long time now. Katie is her name. And I mean, people will tell us that, like a lot of siblings, you know, our voices blend really well. And I guess part of that is experience of having done it and knowing how we're going to phrase words and how we're going to sing a note. And, you know, because to sing harmony well, you really have to anticipate what the other person's going to do. So, I think there's definitely something to that. I think as much as anything, you can count on your family. You know, I mean, making music, well, investing a lot of time and money into it, it's a pretty daunting thing these days. It just takes a lot of commitment to stick with it and think, you know, you've got something that's worth sharing with the world. And not everybody is going to stick through that with you, you know. This band, the Pinkerton Reid, is a very, very different band than it was 2-3 years ago. The membership has just, other than me, the membership, I'm the only one who's still left from when we first started this. But I just have found that one of the most important things about playing with family is that just that they show up and they stick with it, and you know they want to be together and do something together, and they want me to succeed in what I'm trying to do, and you know express my songwriting, and so that's a huge part of it. I mean, and the other side I think too is that we can fight well, and it's not like the harmony just happens. You know, it's still a lot of work. You know, recently they've sort of put me on a tight leash of like, because I want to do these sort of dark, brooding, like thoughtful songs, and you know, they've sort of given me a quota. Like, we'll let you do a couple maybe each set, but otherwise we're just gonna help people have fun. And you know, I need that because I'm really like a truth seeker, and I when I find something that I think people need to think about, then I want to communicate it, and that's okay. But you need a spoonful of sugar at least to help the medicine go down. My brother and sister, they're a lot more fun than I. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
Well, I want to talk about your songwriting process, actually, because I noticed that you you mentioned Fleetwood Mac as an influence, and I can definitely hear that in especially the way the harmonies are structured. But I can also hear that in your lyrics, like them, you've got, you know, you're dealing with some pretty complex and a lot of times heavier subject matter, and yet you're able to sprinkle in just enough sonically and lyrically to also make it a solid, you know, kind of pop singer-songwriter song. What is your writing process like? How do you tackle a subject or a story or a sound?
I've made my living since college as a journalist. I guess I'm pretty well practiced at storytelling, and I think that there are some parallels. I sort of look for the nugget or the image or some core to kind of hang a narrative on and hang a song on. And you know, songs really need that because you're always trying to come up with that chorus hook or that one line that really just has to be a few words and a simple melody that people can really grasp onto. So I guess it sort of starts. That's the second step in terms of the work of it. It'll start with just like some experience or some image that might be kind of vague and, you know, not particularly poetic in terms of the wording, and that's when I'll have to like craft that into a hook, into a lyrical hook, into a melodic hook. It's not a linear process. I mean, at the same time that's happening, I might be thinking of more lines of verses. So there's like this back and forth between the lyrical writing and the melody. So, you know, I might write a verse or write a chorus around one of these images. And then when that starts to take shape as a melody, then that affects the words that come later because it's starting to take on a musical structure that then I have to fit into.
So it's kind of a mix, you know, with some people it's always the melody coming first or it's always the lyrics coming first. It sounds to me like for you it's kind of coming in tandem or layered upon each other, you know, the process is kind of happening in parallel.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, I think for me, it definitely starts with the words because that's sort of like my main strength, I guess, is words. That's what I've sort of always done. And I really was a writer before I was anything resembling a professional musician. So, you know, it grows out of that writing process. But I almost never will write something like a complete poem and then try to turn it into music. You know, it will be parts of a poem, it will be a few lines, then the music will start to take shape, and that's when the kind of parallel process starts.
Do you find that the experience of, you know, being out on the road and, you know, visiting new places. And also, for example, when you're playing here in the area, you're going to be sort of coming back to a place from your earlier years. Does that then provide you more inspiration for songwriting?
Place is always really important to me. We put out a debut album last year, and the first song is called Santa Rosa. That's about a city in California. It's really about an experience that I had in that city. It's not, you know, attempting to be some objective account of what the city's like, but only what I did there. I mean, place is where you get real, realistic, strong images that you can build songs around.
Jesse DeCanto from the Pinkerton Raid. They're going to be in the Miami Valley April 6th playing at Ghost Light Coffee. Or for our Cincinnati friends, you can catch them April 5th at Sitwell's Coffee. Or if you're in the Columbus area, check them out April 13th at the Rumba Cafe. They're going to be playing with Dennison Whitmer, one of my favorites. We've got information up on them and how you can get their album on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Let's take a listen to one of the tracks that Jesse was talking about. This is Santa Rosa by the Pinkerton Raid on Kaleidoscope.